The Monsters, the midday. Barry's sitting in for Dusty today at Harry's TV and Appliance. I'm at Golf USA. I thought the postgame stuff was pretty good last night. The commissioner was good. Doris Burke was really good. She asked some of the tough questions that everybody wanted to know that you have to ask, and she did it kind of in a good way, Barry. I thought that was I stayed up and watched the entire thing.
I thought I did, too, and I thought Doris did a good job. Of course, she's a complete pro.
She's great.
It's a little bit of a... It's a little bit of a squeamish situation when you win the title on somebody else's floor, because you know it's you're basically in an empty auditorium, and so you're sort of generating your own excitement, which is no problem when you've just won the O'Brien Trophy. But I think Toronto would have preferred to close it out in Game 5, make the people of Toronto just go really ballistic, but still. It was a cool scene, and you know I enjoyed the camera shots of the interactions between the players after the game. Lots of self respect nods and those.
Yeah,
I mean
not
self respect, but respect of each other. And I always enjoy that because you know sometimes you get that, sometimes you don't. Sometimes people walk off the floor. But it's always cool to see the players interact after such a spirited series.
I would have liked to have had a mic on Kawhi when the Raptors or when the Warriors were talking to him. It looked like he and Iguodala had a pretty interesting conversation. I don't know what was going on there.
I wondered if they were recruiting him. That's what I wonder. Trying to talk him into coming to Oakland or San Francisco now.
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent, and they seem to they might have a spot in the lineup.
And it wouldn't be a bad destination for him. I mean, that really would be, I think, somewhat unfair. Kawhi Leonard is just a different guy. I don't want to say he's a strange guy or an odd guy, but he's clearly to himself. I think that he has his own beliefs. I thought the celebration was very awkward for him last night. He didn't look like he was giving a lot of warm fuzzies off to his teammates.
No.
But to speculate on, well, I think he's going to do this or that because of this or that, is probably pretty it's not a good idea with Kawhi. I think he's his own guy more than anybody we've seen in a while in the NBA because a lot of those guys tend to be kind of followers, right?
I hope you're right because right now I'm sort of thinking he's going to become a Clipper, and that's not going to be a very good day for me.
I think it's a good debate, though, Barry. Is the Clippers roster better than the current Raptors roster? And we talked about how the Raptors in this series, you said that, or was it maybe Craig, that Leonard at times is the fourth best guy on the floor, which I don't know if I agree with that. So Toronto's got a pretty good supporting cast, too, if he stays there.
Yeah, but I just want him to stay in the East. I want Durant to go East. I want them all to go East. Go East, young man. Go East. Tired of the West being so top-heavy. You know, if Toronto is a deserving champion. We talked about this. But... does Toronto beat Houston in a series? Oh, maybe.
Be a good series.
Do they beat Portland in a series? Probably. Do they beat Denver in a series? Yeah, I might pick them. But, you know, the West is just so much tougher. Of course, you know, a couple of teams really look good now, more so than they did a couple of weeks ago. One of those is Philadelphia. I mean, the Sixers dang near took out the Raptors.
True.
And the same with the
Bucks.
But
they have a lot of questions on that roster.
They do. And the same with the Bucks, who also have a lot of questions. But people forget, it was 2-0 Milwaukee. Game 3 goes back to Toronto, and they needed double overtime to survive.
We'll see what Philly has to. I think after watching this series, it's pretty unfair to the Raptors to say they would have lost to the Rockets. I mean, the Rockets have done nothing but fail in the playoffs.
That's a good point.
It's
a good series. I mean, it'd be a fun series. But you're right. Toronto, it has a very solid. You know, I was thinking about this, Mark. Tell me what you think. The Raptors and the Thunder have very similar rosters, except the Raptors are just a little bit better. At most spots. I mean, they each have a superstar on the wing, a fabulous player, Paul George and Kawhi. Kawhi's just a little bit better. They got a big man who can do all kinds of things that help you win, Gasol and Adams. You know, they're Gasol can shoot more. Adams is more mobile, but, you know, they're pretty similar. You got Grant and Siakam, who are close to being about the closest two NBA players there are. So there's a whole lot of similarities. It's just that Toronto's a little bit better.
Okay, if this was a NCAA golf final eight match play, with all those matchups you just described, Toronto wins every one of them. Like, Jeremy Grant is good. I really like him. But he's not going to get you 14-17 in an NBA Finals game.
Well,
no chance.
What if he if he played on a team without Westbrook and George? I mean, I think some of Grant's limitations are ball distribution. I think they're pretty similar players.
You're preaching to the choir when you talk about that with me.
You'd go Kawhi over George, but I do think you'd go Westbrook over Lowry.
Yes.
And then you'd go Green over Ferguson, even though Green disappears from time to time. You would go Siakam over Grant. I'll give you that. I'm just saying I think they're pretty close. And who are we leaving out here? Is that 4-1? Are we already to 4-1? And then Van Vliet and Schroeder.
Van Vliet. Look at what he did last night, how he impacted the game last night.
Until these finals, you'd have said Schroeder, I think. Van Vliet didn't have a great year. He didn't have a great year. He didn't have a great playoffs, really, until these finals.
Part of the problem is the Thunder don't play very smart a lot of the time, whereas I think the Raptors have a pretty good role identification of what's going on that team. They don't get credit for, say, some of the weakness for Oklahoma City is the bench, and so we don't factor Serge into that equation. He's a really good player.
Well,
he would
Serge
be better than Pat.
Well, Noel's who I'd match him up against, because that's really. But no, you're right. It'd be a 6-1 or 5-2. But what I'm saying is they're sort of similar. It's two teams you can really compare, and most teams are not so easily comparable.
I would give Westbrook the edge, but I do think that shows you a little bit of where the Thunder are. And they've had great games with Toronto when they played in the regular season. Regular season a little bit different than the playoffs, and smart teams kill mentally weak teams and dumb teams in the playoffs, because it's just the way that the playoffs are. You see the same team game after game, and they exploit weaknesses. And that's happened to Oklahoma City in the last two years of the playoffs. We're going to talk a lot more about this as the show goes along. NBA Finals is a big topic. Now, one of the things I always love to hear about, Barry, are your travel adventures. So you can shut me down if you are uncomfortable talking about this, but you said you're going to San Diego next week. I'm curious what you've got on the docket when you arrive at San Diego.
Well, we haven't figured out exactly what we're going to do. We're going to spend one day driving up north, the coast north, through all the coastal towns, which I've never really done. I've only been on the interstate from San Diego to L.A. So we're going to go to Mission Beach and Carlsbad and Del Mar and whatever all those towns are. I can't remember them all. We're going to do that one day. We're going to go to Coronado Island one day.
Okay.
We're trying to figure out. We're going to take a boat. We don't know which boat we're going to take. We don't know whether we're going to go seal watching or just a ride around San Diego Bay. I don't even know if that's
the USS Minnow. I went to San Diego.
And we have a dinner. We have dinner on the aircraft carrier, which is a really cool. I got to go on the aircraft carrier during the Holiday Bowl. Did you go on that? Were you out there for the Holiday Bowl in 2005?
I was. Yes, I did not.
Did you take that excursion? We had a luncheon or some Holiday Bowl luncheon there on the aircraft carrier.
I did not, but I have been on it since then.
I love aircraft carriers.
It's pretty cool. And that's that is a very good tour on there. When you go to Coronado Island, you're going to be – it's like it would have been like dragging 12th Street and more. I don't know if you ever did that in high school. It's just like car to car. And so it's tough to kind of get in over there and out of there. It's pretty beautiful over there. I like Mission Beach. It's a neat area. Okay. Not quite as swanky as what's just north of there, which you talked about earlier. The very ritzy area of San Diego.
Oh, La Jolla?
Yeah, that's right.
Torrey Pines area?
It's not La Jolla. But it's nice. It's nice. So you'll have a good time, man. That'll be really cool. I think that's going
to
be a fun trip.
We're looking forward to it. I've been there to San Diego once or twice, and my wife's been once, and we've never been there together. So That's going to be fun.
The Italian district is good. There's some good, kind of like, you know, not expensive, but really, really good food in that part of town. So that's something worth checking out. Very nice, man. That'll be a good time.
Yeah,
that'll be an excellent time.
Yeah, I don't mind talking about it because I blog about it every time I go. So, you know, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I go ahead and just talk about it? So, you got any trips this summer?
Parents are going to Cincinnati. I mean, my brother is going to be. He's moved to Nashville, and so thinking about making that trip with them. To see a couple Cardinals games there, but that would just be kind of a quick trip. But that's it. I'll be in Dallas for the Big 12 Media Days.
Yes.
That's coming up, man. That's like a month away.
It's like 4 weeks from this weekend.
Yeah, it is.
It's 4 weeks from Monday.
They're moving into Jerry's World.
And then that's, you know, I thought that moving to the Frisco, the Star, was big. It was a bad deal because it was so big. This is going to be a massive. I wonder if they're going to put the interviews up on the big screen. That'd be wild.
That would be wild. That is, yeah, I don't like it in Arlington. I get the fact that they want to showcase, since it's Jerry's game, that they want to showcase that game in that stadium. I thought when they moved it to Frisco, that was pretty cool because you can all be in the same place and it's not, you know, you don't have to walk across, you know, interstate to get there from the hotel and stuff, so. It's going to be interesting. I tell you what, the Big 12 Media Days will be interesting this year with four new coaches. A lot of changes going on in the league.
And you know, Les, of course, is one of them. That's going to be wild, having Les Miles back in the fold. I hope he's the same as always. You think he will be? Think he's going to change any?
No, I don't think he's going to change. I don't think you can make that act up, Barry. I think he is what he is. I think he doesn't care.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe so. But, when you think about it, yeah, four new coaches, plus you got Lincoln and Tom Herman and Matt Campbell have only been on the job 2-3 years. So you're looking at Gundy's a little bit of a – with Bill Snyder gone, it's Gary Patterson and Mike Gundy are your old guys. So
no, Bill Snyder, that'll be a lot different.
Yeah, it'll be real different.
I could not
pick Chris Kleiman out of a lineup. And if the lineup included two women and a minority, I'd have a 50-50 chance.
You'd have a hard time?
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea what the guy – he's an excellent coach, I think. But I have no idea what he looks like. I do not know what the guy looks like.
I think it was a good hire because I think that, you know, creating a success at North Dakota State is a little bit like creating success at Kansas State. They both have – I think, you know, there's a great atmosphere there at North Dakota State with the dome that they have and the town embraces them, but they've been huge winners. And so it's tough for Kansas State because they haven't been huge winners and a little bit of the novelty's worn off of Bill Snyder's worst to first miracle that he made there. So I think, you know, there will be definitely some culture change, and I think it's tough to do it when a guy's been there for so long. And you come in and you go, we're going to start doing things differently. And there's, you know, 50 people in the office that are like, well, this isn't going to work. But, you know, I'm comfortable the way that Bill Snyder did it. So
yeah,
he's got a huge challenge on his.
It is a challenge. Everything I've read, though, is he's a really, sort of a low key guy who doesn't care about ego or profile or those things. I think he's going in with the right attitudes, what it sounds like. So. Now, that's easier to do when you get hired in January or December, whenever it was. That's easier to do than when, you know, the games go getting close and people are starting to look at the scoreboard and games start and all of a sudden your record's 2-3. So, but I think he's the right guy for the job. I really do. So we'll see.
All right, I got something I want to talk to you about when we come back, and it's still on the Big 12. We will continue to discuss a ton of basketball. There's some good stuff to get into regarding the NBA. The draft is coming up 6 days away. Free agency is coming up a little bit after that. But I want to get some of your storylines that you may be contemplating in the Big 12, especially with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and what you think are going to be questions that we'll be asking at Big 12 Media Day and possibly as we head towards the season opener. What's going on at Harry's TV?
Well, Harry's TV is a great showroom here at Northwest Penn and Hefner. All your appliance needs and all kinds of kitchen stuff here. KitchenAid rebates up to $1,600. Gen Air kitchen packages up to $2,000 on savings. Beautiful showroom, all kinds of options for all your appliance needs. Come by and see us.
All right, I'm at Golf USA. The Major Madness sale is going on right here. It's a great time to get into the store and purchase anything you need, especially if you're going to buy clubs. You're going to get 20% off of your entire purchase. If you buy $1,000 worth of clubs, you're going to get a gift certificate back for $200. And you can use that on anything in the store. And there's a bunch of discounts around the store. Like all apparel is buy one, get one half off here at Golf USA for Major Madness weekend. All used clubs are marked 30% off. They've got the best selection of used clubs in Oklahoma City. Why is that? Because they've been in business for so long and they are so popular. Oklahoma's premier locally owned and operated golf store. Golf USA, just west of the Quail Springs Mall. A little bit more Big 12 football talk. We'll get into NBA Finals as well. So stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday.
The Morning Animals.
I like Gerald McCoy.
Mark Rogers with you here at Golf USA. Barry Trammell at Harry's TV. Free agency begins, Barry, on the 1st of July. What a great move by the NBA to move it up to 6 o'clock instead of 12 o'clock now. That move was hailed, but it makes sense. But the official, unofficial recording of Kawhi began last night on the streets of Toronto, and here's how that sounded.
White guy. What's with the plant, man? Where'd you get that?
It's a housewarming gift for Kawhi.
Oh, I see.
He's staying.
Does he know this yet?
I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting. Have you seen him?
I haven't seen him yet. I think he's somewhere in Oakland right now celebrating his butt off.
Well, when you see him, tell him I got a housewarming gift. Tell him I love him.
I will. What kind of plant is that?
Tell him thank you for the shot.
What kind of plant is that?
It's a plant for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi plant.
It's a Kawhi plant.
It's a Kawhi cactus.
Have a good night, man.
Cactus.
Cactus. I like to collect.
The visual of that is a little bit better, but I think you can kind of tell what's going on. Barry, this guy has got a plant. I'm not sure he knew where Kawhi was, that he was still in Oakland even after watching the game. He kind of looks like Euron Greyjoy from Game of Thrones. So he's a menacing and intimidating type of guy, but just a regular house plant that looks like it had been uprooted and a post-game celebration.
Well, I hope the Raptors have plenty, the fans of Toronto have plenty of reason to celebrate here when we get there in 8, 10 days, 12 days, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know. As you said it, Kawhi's a guy you can't figure out. You really don't know what he's going to do. Let me ask you, and this is something we debated when Durant left. Does Toronto winning the title make it less likely or more likely that he stays?
No idea, man. I have no idea. Because, again, I think that he's kind of his own guy, and he just said that. And the clip coming out is what? He does seem like maybe he is a player that's affected by where he lives or just is more comfortable by that, and he's not afraid if he feels like his body isn't right and the team's pushing him to play that he's not going to go out there. So he does what he wants to do. He's won two titles now.
And been the best player in those title teams. I mean, he was the finals MVP in whatever year that was, 14. So
he's a little bit like the Oppo Durant, you know? I mean, wherever he ends up, just chance he can win the title. I mean, if he goes to the Clippers and wins a title, he'd be the only guy in the history of the NBA that's won a title at an MVP on three different teams. He'd be the MVP of the Clippers.
Yeah. I wonder if that appeals to him.
Probably not.
Some people say that Kawhi Leonard is so uncomplicated that he really just wants to play someplace where they have good weather. That's really what he's after, is good weather.
Yeah.
The reason he wants to go to L.A. is not for commercials, is not for the lifestyle. It's just he likes the weather. You know, it gets hot in San Antonio, in case anybody didn't know. It gets cold in Toronto. It's pretty nice in L.A. most of the time.
It's very nice. It's very
nice. I hope that's not the case. I hope he's gotten a little partial to the north, but I assume he hasn't.
Okay, I talked to you, asked you a question during the break. What are the big questions OU or OSU? There's a couple of very, very obvious questions for the in-state teams next year that are going to be discussed ad nauseum when we go to Dallas, in about what, 20, about 30 days from today. What's on your mind, and what are you looking forward to writing about this fall?
I'm anxious to see how Lincoln can spin. You know, he spun the epic Austin Kendall Kyler Murray quarterback derby rather well, and we didn't really fall for it. Nobody really fell for it, but we sort of played along with it. There's no playing along with this one. Jalen Hurts and Tanner Mordecai. We're not playing along. We're not falling for it. So I'm interested to see how that goes.
All right.
Lincoln is such a sort of an agreeable guy. He's really had no issues with the press or the media. I mean, it's a mutual admiration society so far. It was that way with Bob Stoops in the early days. Didn't end up, you know, sustaining itself.
Lincoln's less available to the media than Bob.
You think?
Yes. I think, well, put it this way. I think he's a little bit less available in general, like just around and places in Norman and things like that. I mean, just a little bit less so. I mean, like canceling the caravans, I think, rubbed some people the wrong way. I would hate to do that if I'm Lincoln. I don't blame him at all, man. I mean, but I think that when you consider how long those traditions have lasted and through the history of Oklahoma football and the demand for it, that's a big sign.
Not good. He's not good. I heard from some people, I heard from some Dallas people that, you know, just mystified about why they do that. But I will say this, in terms of the media, Lincoln's been pretty agreeable with us. I mean, he held a little press conference, I don't know, when was it, a couple of weeks ago, just out of the blue for no good reason. I mean, just because he figured, well, they probably want to talk to me. And so we had one, and it was really helpful and informative, and it was great. So
it's very difficult to say what Lincoln Riley's done wrong, if anything. Since he's been the coach at OU, he's done a great job.
But if he gets up there and say it's a great battle, and we might, you know, probably going to have to go to August 20th to pick a quarterback. Yeah, I don't. I do think this. If they start Tanner Mordecai, I do think the state of Alabama will declare war on the state of Oklahoma. I do think that will happen.
Jalen Hurts is too good at dealing with the media, mature guy that I think that, you know, you want to get him out there and get him in front of everybody.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so. But you got to, you know, in this day and age of the portal, you got to protect those, all that stuff in terms of
trying to keep
people happy. So it's a new day. It's not the old days. I was thinking of this the other day, Mark. What years were you at OU?
88 to 92.
All right, so you were in high school when this happened. But somebody asked me a question last night. They said, hey, who is the quarterback that never got to play because of Jamel Holloway? And, of course, the answer is Eric Mitchell. Can anybody imagine a football player like Eric Mitchell going to a school and basically being a backup for 4 years or playing trying a new position and just filling in some roles? I mean, if somebody did that today, we would look at them like they had 16 eyeballs. It's so foreign to what we have today. And yet in the old days, people did that. Guys like Eric Mitchell, a star by any stretch of the imagination, a phenomenal athlete, came and waited his turn, and that time basically never happened. Basically never happened.
Well, it's a different day, right? I mean, you know, you go back in time and think about some of the talented backfields that were at Oklahoma, and you got three, four guys that are all in the pros. They all go to the pros. And today, it's just such more of a selfish society, man. I mean, team was more important back then. Today, it's not. It's individuals, right? Or at least for a lot of people.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I mean, it certainly is the quarterback spot because you only got one.
I mean, we sit here and we all applaud Jalen Hurts for sticking it out 1 year at Alabama, which is basically what he did. I mean, most guys would have transferred in August or September. We saw the dude at Clemson, Kelly Bryant, did exactly that. Left Clemson in the middle of the season when he lost the job to a guy who's obviously better than he was. You know, it's one thing if you're losing the job to somebody, you know, that sort of it's a toss-up, but anybody that watched Trevor Lawrence or Kelly Bryant play football, you know Dabo Swinney didn't just make the right decision. You wonder what took you so long.
That was a no-brainer.
Yeah, and so, you know, Jalen Hurts actually went through the whole season at Alabama last year as a backup. A guy that's 26-2 as a starter, SEC Offensive Player of the Year as a freshman. Basically gave away a year of his life just, you know, for the good of Alabama football. So, yeah, I think there's a chance he's going to start at Oklahoma. And I think the media down in Dallas is not going to be ready to hear that it could be otherwise, just to be honest with you.
Okay, Oklahoma State, clearly quarterback. Because if you look at the rest of their offense, I think it has a chance to be a year where the offensive line play is much improved and they're good enough at receiver and running back. They might be as good at receiver and running back as anybody in the country with at the top two or, you know, two spots in each of those groups. So no idea what the quarterback play is going to be like at Oklahoma State. So it's very difficult to gauge how good they're going to be. They could be an outside contender for the championship in the Big 12. And if the quarterback play isn't very good, then it may be no bowl.
Let me ask you a question, Mark. And I think it's going to be Spencer Sanders. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be Spencer Sanders. But whether it's Spencer Sanders or Drew Brown, either way, I think the quarterback play at the worst is going to be in the neighborhood of Taylor Cornelius. At the worst. I don't think it's going to be a big drop-off. And in the case of Spencer Sanders, it could be, if he develops, it could be a pretty big step up. Shouldn't that make, at least offensively, make us fairly optimistic about OSU football? Because like you said, they're pretty loaded everywhere else. The O-line's experienced and pretty good. Chuba Hubbard looks like a star in the making. They got Tylan Wallace and a bunch of other guys that can play. I mean, I think there's really reason to believe they're going to be pretty good on offense and maybe better than that.
Yes, there's a chance they could be pretty good. Like I said, I think there's a chance that they could compete for the Big 12 championship. It's just so hard to know what to expect. I think that Cornelius was, you know, in high school he was this guy that was a superstar athlete, smaller town in West Texas, and they put him at quarterback because he's the best athlete, like you do in a small town. And he almost won the job at Oklahoma State in a similar way. And so, you know, he had some holes in his game, but he was still a big guy, and they utilized him running the football at times pretty effectively. So what is Spencer Sanders' strength going to be? I don't know. It's hard to hear anything out of Stillwater because some people will say, well, you know, he's not doing this or he's not doing that very well. And so last season was just kind of puzzling to me that they've set up a rule where you can put a guy on the field and it doesn't affect his status as a player. You can basically have four games for free to get an evaluation, and Oklahoma State chose not to do that. Mike Gundy and his dealings with quarterbacks in Stillwater, it hasn't been an A grade. It's been very good on the field, and the offense has been very productive, but he's made some wrong calls at that position, and we'll see what happens this season, but I don't know anything to be other than critical of Mike handling the quarterback situation last year. It wasn't like that. I mean, he's a senior, and I don't think you're going to hurt the team if you run a guy out there to get some reps. I think certainly the younger guys in the team are going to understand that, and I don't think the seniors are going to be upset that Corndog is not, you know, playing every snap. I think they understand that what's better for the team is to maybe put a guy out there, and then everybody wants to win. So if Spencer Sanders goes out there and lights it up, then that excites everybody. I think sometimes quarterbacks that coach quarterbacks are too worried about the mentality of their quarterback.
Do you think Gundy kept the shackles on Sanders because he didn't want to alienate Drew Brown? I wanted to keep him around.
But you can play them both. I mean, competition is people, especially athletes, they're competitors. And there's no better way to determine who the team is going to get behind or the players are going to get behind than by letting them compete and show everybody. So I think everyone would understand. Now, again, if you let one guy go, you still have two. I mean, you can go get another one. I mean, the offenses have been so successful at Oklahoma State that I think you can go recruit a guy. But I think this is just part of the job that you have to live by. I don't think there's anything you can do to keep a guy that doesn't win the job from getting into the portal. And, you know, I mean, that doesn't mean that Drew Brown, if he doesn't win the job this fall, Barry, couldn't just walk away. He's already been, I don't know, the guy's probably got several degrees by this point.
Somebody's
going to back up.
If they go to mid-August before picking Sanders, does that limit Drew Brown's options? Could he still transfer and go play somewhere, you think, or you think he's pretty much committed to just riding it out in Stillwater?
Well, it'd have to be a situation that was unexpected, like somebody got hurt, and then not an ideal situation for him to leave.
Right.
And it'd be transfer down a level.
Clearly a lower division, either D2 or 1AA.
But he came. He made the decision to come to Oklahoma State knowing that he was going to go up against not necessarily Taylor Cornelius, but a guy that was considered to be the top dual-threat quarterback in the state of Texas.
In retrospect, the ideal is when you transfer is if you can get spring practice. What kept Drew Brown from even competing for the job was not getting here until, I think it was July 1st, wasn't it? I think it was July.
Yeah.
He didn't even get here in June 1st. So I think he didn't get here until July. And that just, that sort of limited his options so much. It really made him no more ahead of Spencer Sanders, much less Taylor Cornelius. So, yeah, I think it's going to be Sanders myself.
It probably will be. I think it probably will be. Lot of good stories. I mean, the defense in both schools are clearly huge. I think the personnel for OU's defense, who's going to go out there, whether or not we'll see some guys unseated because of the new coaching staff. I think Kenneth Murray, who's been a 2-year starter, has got a little bit of competition at his linebacker spot, or they could possibly move him to a different spot on the defense. So I think we'll see some things certainly shaken up. And Norman, I'm on with Barry. I got to use proper grammar today. Tell me what's going on at Harry's TV and Appliance.
Well, we're here at Hefner Road in Northwest Penn. Come by and see us. Great appliance store, beautiful showroom, all kinds of appliances, including Viking appliances, selected models. Buy one, get one free. Buy two, get two free. A promotion from Viking. Come by and check it out here at Harry's TV and Appliance.
I spent some quality time with Sabonis and Harry's TV and Appliance. I guess that would be 2 years ago. At the time, people were kind of down on him. He's come a long way since he was traded. I'm at Golf USA for the Major Madness Sale Week, and this is a perfect time to get Father's Day stuff. You buy one, you get one half off in here. All used clubs are marked 30% off. And if you're looking for clubs, whatever you buy in clubs, however much you spend, you're going to get 20% back. That's why Golf USA has been Oklahoma's premier locally owned and operated golf store, and have won 19 Reader's Choice Awards for the favorite golf store in Oklahoma City. So come by and see us today, a little west of Quail Springs Mall. You are listening to the Monsters of the Midday on the Sports Animal.
Sports Animal Soundbite. Watching the USA women dominate World Cup soccer. Watching it at Buffalo.
Par 5 to about 1 foot. So Justin Rose about to get to 8-under. Barry, I picked Justin Rose to win the Masters. He stunk. Didn't pick him to win the U.S. Open, and he's playing tremendous golf.
I sort of like Justin Rose. Of course, I like.
He seems cool.
I like England.
You like the accent?
I like the accent, but I like the United Kingdom. I like Great Britain. I like England. I like that part of the world. So I pull for those guys, and Justin Rose seems like a solid dude as well.
Well, he's great at golf. It was kind of surprising that he did perform very well in the first few majors of the year, but he's got it going this week.
I heard him on Fox last night. Did you see who interviewed him after the round?
Joel Klatt.
And I thought, hey, cool for Joel, who's one of the all-time good guys, a super guy who's made his mark in college football with Fox, was with the Big 12, doing Big 12 games and analysis, and now, of course, is a national guy for them. Colorado quarterback back in the early part of the 2000s. But I thought that was cool. Joel Klatt and Justin Rose sitting there on the banks of Pebble Beach with the Pacific Ocean in the background talking golf. I thought that was sort of a surreal scene last night.
I think that tells you how talented that Joel Klatt is, because he could, it was a seamless transition for him to cover golf. I like him. I think he does a great job in college football. He's an excellent analyst. Now that Fox has hired Brock Huard, those two guys look a little bit alike. It might be tough at the first couple of Fox get-togethers to tell them apart.
Well, if they start talking, you can tell them apart, because, mean, I don't know if Brock Huard listens to the show, but I'm not a big fan of his analysis. I don't think
you're not. I like his analysis. We've had him on the show several times.
He's near as good as Joel Klatt. Oh, man.
They're both good.
But you're breaking news. I actually hadn't heard that. So Brock Huard has joined Fox.
Brock Huard has joined Fox.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. I think Fox is also going to get into the business of having a game day like program.
I heard that's true.
They're going to ramp up their college football coverage. You absolutely kind of have to have that. You can't just come on and.
Are they taking it to campuses on Saturday mornings like game day?
I don't know how it's going to be constructed. It's a good question.
That would be interesting. That's a way to get people excited. Go someplace besides game day. You can get a lot of people paying attention that way.
In today's age, I think it's tough for those big corporations to commit to spending all of that money. Somebody looks at the bottom line and they get the bill from how much it takes to put on a production like that, and they're like, no thanks. So I would hope they do, because it's good. To me, it's good for enthusiasm. It's good for interest. But I can tell you, as far as a much smaller scale, taking a live television production on the road for a live broadcast, it's really, there's a lot of resources that go into it.
Of course, I've got an idea for Fox. I've tried to hit them with it 5 years ago. Nobody ever listens to me. You're a TV guy. You would have more insight to this than me. But here's the deal. Game day, it goes 8 to 11 every morning, Central Time, and they take it right into an ESPN game. It kicks off at 11 o'clock our time. Well, 11 o'clock our time is noon back east, which means they're playing games at noon back east. If we can play 11 a.m. in good old Stillwater and Norman, Oklahoma, why can't they play 11 a.m. in good old Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and Syracuse, New York?
Oh.
So what I'm saying is this. If Fox was smart, Fox would try to look for a really good game to secure the rights to some conference or whatever, in which they could put a really good game on at 11 a.m. Eastern, which kicks off 10 a.m. here. Listen, I like game day as much as the next guy, but if there's a football game to watch at 10 o'clock, I'm not watching, Rocket Ismail and it's not Rocket, it's Desmond Howard. I get those two guys mixed up. Desmond Howard and Corso and Herb Street and the gang. I'm watching the football game. Fox ought to start their games at 10 a.m. Central Time. That's my idea for television.
I think it's a pretty good idea. I would sign off on it. I think it's only one game. I mean, but maybe not multiple games, but
right,
that could
one.
Be their national window.
Yeah. West Virginia.
East Coast game.
You got the Big 12 with West Virginia's in the East. You got half the SEC. Now, they don't have Fox does not have the SEC. But the Big Ten, Fox has some Big Ten stuff. I'd work a deal. I'd work a deal, play, Penn State Pitt at 10 a.m. Are you kidding me?
College football Saturdays are pretty interesting because, if you go to a game and it's early in the day, it's great to come home and have one on TV at 6:45 or 7 o'clock, but it almost seems like it's a little late now, If you wrap everything up by 10, you can have a post-game show for 30 minutes or something. I don't know. Anyway, all I know is I love it. I can't wait for it to get here. If it's going to be 10 a.m. to 10 at night, that's not a problem for me.
Well, we get an early start. You can watch all you want on the first weekend of the year because OSU plays on Friday night. OU plays on Sunday, so you can watch all day Saturday if you want.
How long has it been since you talked to Royce Young?
I've not talked to Royce. I don't know if I've talked to him. I've heard him on our shows and stuff, but I've probably not talked to him since Portland, since Game 5.
Okay, very cool. Well, we'll have a reunion today on the show.
Is Royce on with us? That's fantastic.
I think he is.
That's fantastic.
Matt, did Barry just sound a lot more excited to talk to Royce than he has to talk to me?
About 40% more.
I've been talking to you for 2 hours.
Okay.
I've been talking to you since 11 a.m., 2 hours.
My confidence just went down the drain. I'm at Golf USA today where I can get a little bit more excited and try to bounce back from that slam from Barry by getting buy one half off on the next item here for Father's Day, which is cool. Also 30% off used clubs and 20% back to you in the form of a gift certificate here in store when you buy clubs. You can buy every driver, wedge, hybrid, iron set, in here, and they're going to get you 20% back for shopping at Oklahoma's premier locally owned golf store here, just a little bit west of Quail Springs Mall. I am happy to have Barry Trammell co-hosting the show. No matter how he feels today, he is at Harry's TV and Appliance.
I certainly am. Northwest Pennsylvania and Hefner, come by and see us here at Harry's TV and Appliance. Great showroom, all kinds of great appliances and buys. All grills and grill accessories, 10% off today. So I'm looking at some of them right now, some stainless steel, some black, some really good-looking cookers. Come by and see us at Harry's.
All right, we'll be back. We got another hour of the Monsters of the Midday straight ahead. Stay tuned.
Get Thunder scores and breaking.
Matt calls you 20 minutes early. Are you cool with that?
That's cool. I'm adaptable and flexible, so it's good with me.
All right, you're off work a little bit early today. I'll tell you, I think of as much as anything last night, my thoughts were a terrible injury for Clay, but an incredible game. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, the first half especially. I mean, that first quarter was played at an incredible pace, and it's one of those things, Mark, where when you see it happening like that, so often, you know, teams can kind of hit a wall, and can they sustain that? But just you could almost feel it through the TV, the intensity level of that game, the way that both teams were defending, the way they were hitting the boards, the way that they were trying to get out in transition, just the high-level nature of that game was completely awesome. And like you mentioned, it all really kind of changed when Klay Thompson went down, because Klay was the difference maker. He had 30 points on 12 shots, and it was feeling very much like Klay Thompson in a game six, and he was going to be the complete difference. Now, the Warriors got it to the finish line where they had a chance. I mean, Steph Curry, I don't know that you could ask for much a better look than Steph Curry, pretty open from three, and they had their chance to win the game, but even despite Klay Thompson not being there. But, it's just one of those things where when you just don't have as many bullets in the gun as the other team, eventually you're just going to start missing shots.
Hey, Royce, who are you most happy for last night? I mean, my wife got all fired up because Serge Ibaka won a title. And of course,
yeah,
there's a million Thunder fans that way. I was happy for Kyle Lowry, a guy that's been around 13 years now in the NBA and sort of been a maligned player and had a great game and led this team. Mark Gasol's another old soldier that got him a title. Nick Nurse is a rags-to-riches story. Who are you most happy for?
It's funny you mention that, Barry, because my wife actually made me rewind the TV so she could watch Serge celebrating some more. I don't know. Serge was always popular with women in Oklahoma City.
I don't have any idea. I have no idea why.
I don't know why, but he was a lovable character. I was happy for Serge. It's hard not to be, but you mentioned Nick Nurse and just his kind of journey to this moment. You know, it's something many of us discovered, Barry. I'm sure you probably already knew this. You probably somehow ended up at a Oklahoma Storm game, knowing you. But I didn't know that he was a coach out there in Enid for the Oklahoma Storm at one point. I think he had two different stints, if I remember his Wikipedia page correctly.
Yeah, so, 2005 up in Enid.
Yeah.
Coach for the Oklahoma Storm.
It's kind of hard not to root for a guy that goes through that. And he's won a D-League title, and he's won an NBA title. But you said Marc Gasol, too. And I think Marc Gasol is somebody that, you know, he was a loyal soldier to the Memphis Grizzlies for so long. Didn't ask to be traded, but that's what went down. And got his moment and cashed it in for a championship. And, there's a lot of guys on that Raptors team that it's easy to root for. It's kind of easy to be happy for Masai Ujiri. He took the big swing just like Sam Presti did last year. And Masai Ujiri's swing worked out a little bit better. But, you know, who knows what happens from this point on, even with him or with Kawhi Leonard. But it's hard not to be happy just kind of for everybody involved when they finally get to break through and have that kind of moment.
Yeah, I think they're a pretty likable team. So my question is, with last night's victories, does Nick Nurse pass Gottlieb on the Mount Rushmore of Oklahoma Storm people? He's not going to pass Kareem, who also coached that franchise.
That's a good question, Mark. Yeah, the power ranking list of Oklahoma Storm alumni. Maybe there will be like a reunion or something. You think Nick Nurse would show up to that?
It's possible, but he's a great story. I think he coached really well I thought that he, you know, the box and one adjustment was great, and it was smart. Sometimes we talked about this. Coaches are afraid to get out of the routine in the NBA, and it's junk defense. Steph Curry called it janky. It's a high school defense when you've got one great player and nobody else can play on the rest of the team. But the Warriors were a little bit in that position due to their injuries, and he wasn't afraid to try it.
And he went to it in the fourth quarter after Klay Thompson goes out, and you know, again, it was just kind of a natural thing. It's not Nick Nurse's fault that the Warriors were limited in their options. And you know, the thing that when we talked about it, Mark, you know, I thought back to Rick Carlisle and the zone defense he threw at LeBron, and sometimes these kind of curveball adjustments, they feel like they come out of nowhere, and it's hard to prepare for them. I know a lot of people were critical of Nick Nurse and that timeout that he called, and they wanted to point the finger at him for game five for losing it there. Look, it wasn't a great timeout, and we can say that because of hindsight, but at the same time, you know, he might have been looking at his team saying, my group is completely gassed, they need a breather, and we've got to regroup right here, and it just didn't work out, so we can second guess it. But, you know, other than maybe that timeout, Nick Nurse kind of coached a pretty flawless series.
Let me ask you, there's a lot of, you know, we've done some talk around here, that talk nationally. You know, the Raptors did what the Thunder did, which is,
right,
you know, trade for a superstar with 1 year left on his contract and roll the dice, either that you can keep him or, in the case of Toronto, win the title.
Right.
Is there a chance that somebody could look at this Toronto season and say, hey, here's another script we can follow. Fire a really successful coach and see if a new coach can sort of instigate change or even improvement, even off a really solid level of success. Dwayne Casey, by all accounts, was an excellent coach for the Raptors.
Coach of the year.
Had done a great job. And still Toronto took the plunge and said, let's try something different, and it panned out famously. Can we see where coaches might say, you know, I don't have anybody in particular, but somebody could say, you know, hey, in Milwaukee or Philadelphia, Brett Brown might be a good candidate for that. So you think we might be seeing more of that?
I think it's a great point, Barry, because one thing about the NBA and decision makers in the NBA is they can fall victim to trends and what kind of the current trend is. And I'd rewind it even further. It's a little bit different, but think back to Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr. I mean, Mark Jackson was successful with the Warriors. He was part of kind of building that early foundation. They went to the playoffs. They beat the Denver Nuggets in the first round. It felt like they were kind of building something, and there was some momentum behind them. Now, there was definitely some criticism around his coaching and, you know, the Warriors style and maybe some of the way that he favored isolation and post up and how that necessarily didn't fit the roster. But it was a pretty bold move, and there were some internal factors as well. But it was a bold move to fire Mark Jackson and go to Steve Kerr. And that worked quite well, I would say. So, yeah, I think it's – and when you see it with Nick Nurse, especially in the context that you mentioned, Barry, of Kawhi Leonard and kind of the big swing there, just that whole kind of general fresh start mentality for a team that was kind of ragged. I mean, there was such a narrative around the Raptors and that they would choke or that they'd play scared or that they just didn't have what it took, the DNA of the franchise, all these kind of nonsensical things that a lot of people would say about them. You kind of wipe that clean when you just rip the Band-Aid off and you go with a new coach and a new star all at once. You can kind of hit the reset button on that narrative.
All right, Sports Betting AG is out with its 2019-2020 NBA Finals odds. Mm-hmm. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the same odds to win the NBA title as the New York Knicks, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Dallas Mavericks, 33-1. That's a little sobering, knowing that the NBA landscape is going to be more wide open for a title next season than I think it is right now, this season.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, who's the favorite? I got one of these emails, one of these press releases, and it had the Lakers 9-2 as the favorite, but I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if that's across the board.
Yeah, the Lakers are close to it, man. It certainly doesn't make this right, and it's, again, more of a reflection of what guys want to go in and lay a bet on something that's going to happen 365 days from now. But the Bucks are the favorite, 9-2. And different sports picks would have it different.
Yeah, the one that I saw, the Bucks were 6-1. They were right there behind him.
It's close.
But I think it does go to say, and this is what everybody believes, that even eliminating just the context of free agency and the unknowns that were, you know, if we think back to a week ago when it was, is Kevin Durant going to leave and what's going to happen, the NBA felt kind of wide open at that point, right? Like, if Durant leaves, like, man, things are going to be a lot different. And now look at it. Not only could Durant leave, but he's not going to play next year. We're talking about maybe the best player in the world is not going to play a game next year, most likely. Now you've got Klay Thompson. You've got the Golden State Warriors, a team that's been in five consecutive NBA finals, won three out of the last five championships, and they may not make the playoffs. Like, that's, I think, a real possibility for that group unless something really drastic changes. So I think the interesting thing is, Mark, is I wonder how it shapes some of these teams that were going into this summer going, okay, how do we retool? How do, you know, whatever happens in free agency, right? Do you gear up? Do you pull back? Well, how do you approach this? If you're the Thunder or the Rockets or the Spurs or the Mavs or whoever it might be in the Western Conference, I think you wake up today with a different perspective on your summer and what you might think is possible next season.
Yeah, and you know what I like about it is it's sort of the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to know what's going to happen.
Right.
When we get to an NFL season, we don't know who's going to go to the Super Bowl, for crying out loud.
That's the way I prefer.
When we go to Major League Baseball, we don't really know. I mean, but you get to the NBA, especially these last 2 years, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. Now, you didn't know who's going to win the East. You didn't know after the Rockets had injuries. You didn't know where they were going to finish, and you didn't know how the bracket would all. But you knew the Warriors were going to be there at the end and win it all. And then the injuries occurred, and you realized, hey, Toronto could win it, and they did. And it reminded us, hey, this is the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to not know what's going to happen.
Well, and that was the case only in the East this year, Barry, because LeBron left it. You know, I mean,
he's
been a decade going to the NBA Finals. And look, I know that you can look at what NBA ratings say, and that maybe in the Eastern Conference that the ratings were down because of the absence of LeBron. But if you like the NBA and you watch it regardless, I don't think there's anybody out there that couldn't say that the Eastern Conference playoffs were more fun this year than they have been in the last 6-7 years. Just because, like you said, Barry, there wasn't this inevitability about it. It was, man, which one of those four teams is going to come out of it? It was a true toss-up, and the series were all compelling, and they were interesting because of it. And I think the Western Conference is going to probably feel somewhat that way next season. If you're the Portland Trailblazers, you're going, man, could be back in the Western Conference Finals. If you're the Thunder, the Rockets, I mean, you go down the line, I think when we're all making our preseason picks, there's going to be some diversity in those picks. There's not going to be a consensus for the Western Conference next season.
And right, I told Mark this earlier in the show. Just think about the Raptors are the champs today. Think how close they came to losing to Philly.
Yeah.
And the ball bounces four times in Game 7 before they avoid overtime in Game 7. Bucks, it's 2-0 Milwaukee, and they go to double overtime in Game 3 in Toronto. I mean, they were on the brink of death right there, and here today they're NBA champions.
Yeah, and that's – And the Raptors are, to kind of extrapolate it further, I mean, the Raptors are a good example of just kind of sticking with it, just taking your chances. And, you know, you can't necessarily.
Well, in terms of what kind of player he is.
Yeah, because I think that everybody thought, well, Toronto kind of has a big two, and they're really good, and, you know, maybe they should have gotten past LeBron and all this stuff. But it tells you that it just, to me, shows me how much more of a complete player Kawhi Leonard is than DeMar DeRozan, a guy that didn't shoot threes and a guy that was kind of unreliable in the moment at times. And we all thought DeMar DeRozan was really good until we saw Kawhi Leonard in his place.
Not a difference maker defensively. Yeah, lots. You know, what it shows you is, like, we now know how good we thought we knew how good Kevin Durant was, and we probably did, but until you don't have him anymore, you don't really realize it. And it's sort of the reverse in Toronto. You thought you had a good team, you thought you had a great star, and then all of a sudden you got this guy named Kawhi Leonard comes in and you think, oh, wait, this is different, we haven't seen this before. So yeah, you know, DeMar DeRozan is an unfortunate victim of this. He's sort of lumped into the guy that, you know, he couldn't do it, so we had to get somebody that did. It's not fair. The whole league wishes it had Kawhi Leonard. The whole league wishes it was Kawhi Leonard. There's like five players in the league in his category, and DeMar DeRozan isn't the only one. But it's definitely an unfortunate side sort of a side story on this is, and not just about, you know, Valanciunas went through a bunch of big time games and a bunch of bad days and all kinds of stuff with Toronto. And they trade him for Marc Gasol, and Gasol gets to hold the trophy. And, you know, would they have won without Gasol? Probably not. They probably needed Gasol, but he was a really good player. So I feel bad for them. I really do. You know, if it worked out, let's say Durant stays and the Thunder wins an NBA title with Victor Oladipo, I think we'd have all felt bad for Serge Ibaka. And on a higher,
I think that's why people feel good for him now.
That's exactly right. And it's a higher scale now with Kawhi over DeMar DeRozan. It's just sort of the nature of the game, and it's unfortunate, especially now that he's in a place that I don't know that San Antonio is embracing DeMar DeRozan. You know, there's talk he's on the trading block in San Antonio. So
he doesn't fit what they do.
Yeah, so who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there?
But in today's NBA, it's just tough to have a guy that doesn't shoot threes.
Yeah,
we see that in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, especially a wing. You know,
because if you can't shoot the three, you can pack the paint and you can break down the lanes to get to the basket to penetrate and kick. And
you gotta shoot it. You gotta have 3-pointers. You gotta have 3-point shots. So, yeah, no, you're right. It is a problem. It is. Although, you know, DeMar DeRozan's a guy that should have developed one. He should have developed as a 3-point shooter.
I don't understand that either.
That's a knock on him. Serge Ibaka developed into a decent 3-point shooter. Marc Gasol developed into a decent 3-point shooter. Why couldn't DeMar DeRozan? Those guys, you know, Serge and Gasol were taking 17-footers. DeMar DeRozan's been taking 21-footers. Just, you know, add 2 feet, not 6 feet to it.
I agree. I don't know why it's not there. I mean, it's not too late for him. I mean, he's still a younger player. I mean, he would need to get out there and add that to his game, and I think could become a much better player. What do you think the Thunder are going to do? Are you I think it's tough to – we really don't know what Sam Presti's thinking. It would perhaps, if they wanted to dump salary, they could take a player like Patrick Patterson and trade the first-round pick to somebody for just, you know, a guy or something there and use their trade exception. Do you think they'll do that?
No. I don't think they're going to be in the, I would be surprised if they go into salary dumping, trying to cut down the luxury tax with no thought of improving the team. You know, they did cut their tax bill heavily by trading Carmelo, but they also improved the team. Schroeder was a better hand than Carmelo was.
Yeah, that was a great move. You're right.
So I mean, if they can do something that actually gives them a fighting chance at being better or even staying the same. But trading a draft pick and Patrick Patterson for, you know, to save ever how much luxury tax, 15, 20 million, without really improving the team, I think it's a little late for that. I mean, they got 2 years of Paul George. I'd take time to make sure that pays off, because 2 years from now, the Thunder future is going to look very, very unsteady.
Well, this is an interesting draft for me, because I'll buy into the theory that it's too deep. And maybe it's maybe a little bit more than that. I don't know. I don't know what to think of John Morant. He had one great season in college, and everybody, I mean, he looks like he's a special player. So after that, there are a lot of guys that I think Oklahoma City could get and perhaps have a little bit of potential. Cameron Johnson, a good shooter. A guy with length that, you know, that's certainly needed on the Oklahoma City roster. Tyler Herro at Kentucky reportedly had a workout in Boston where he hit 80 out of 100 threes. So I would not want to give up that pick. And I think you can find a guy that might be end up being, and this is the way that the past, at least some recent drafts have been, maybe the best player is not number one or two. You know what I'm saying? You go down and you get a guy that's pretty good later on in the draft. So I think that that's going to be a big help for them salary-wise, and they just got to do a better job of evaluating where they pick, because it's not been good as of late.
Well, you know, I don't know that they can draft somebody that will really help them. That would be surprising to me if they got a rookie that really helped them. But you could find a
–
Donovan
Mitchell helped the Jazz as a rookie.
He did. But you can find a guy that will help in year two. You can definitely do that. And these Raptors – are a prime example. They should make everybody sober up about the draft. They got no lottery picks on this team.
Right.
And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, it's hard to find a champion without a lottery pick. It's hard to find any team without a lottery pick. Who doesn't have a lottery pick? Phoenix has lottery picks. Sacramento has lottery picks. The Lakers have lottery picks. Every team in the league has lottery picks, except this team that just won the title. To me, that's fascinating and should make everyone sit back and think, hey, where's the next Fred VanVleet? Where's the next Pascal Siakam? Where's the next Serge Ibaka? Where's the next Marc Gasol? I mean, Marc Gasol is one of the great stories in the NBA. That was the original Memphis LA trade when they traded Paul Gasol.
His brother, yeah.
Everyone panned that trade. Everybody thought it was just the worst trade of all time. That it would tip the competitive balance too much in the Lakers' favor. It made the Memphis. Marc Gasol's a better NBA player over his career than Paul Gasol has been. Marc Gasol's a wonderful player, and if you know what you're doing. Memphis did at the time. They had Jerry West. You can get some things done. So, you know, I would hate to see the Thunder punt on the draft because I think the draft is still a place where you can outsmart people and you can save money. So I would hate to see the Thunder. The Thunder's never been that way before. They've traded the pick because, good deals came along. I'd hate to see them get to where they say, oh, let's just save money. We don't need this pick.
One thing what I think Sam Presti's not done well is that he is a sucker for potential. I mean, he will draft a guy like, for example, I think Diallo is a potential guy. Ferguson, clearly a potential guy. Andre Robertson, a potential guy. And not a lot of these guys have shown the upside that maybe you could. Whereas, again, you go find a guy like Cameron Johnson that's played at a big-time program in college basketball and has excelled at a big-time program at college basketball and not just a guy that's long, athletic, and might be able to develop into a shooter. That's been his biggest flaw in Oklahoma City is thinking guys can shoot or that they're going to get better at shooting, and it hasn't worked out for him. A lot of guys haven't developed into better players than what their potential was.
Who in the Thunder, I've not thought of this, and when you were talking, I just thought about it. Has the Thunder ever had a player, and we could go back several years if we want to, the Thunder ever have a player who became a really good shooter while he was here? Didn't arrive here as a good shooter, whether it was trade or draft, but became one while he was here. Certainly not.
The best example so far is Jeremy Grant. But that's a one-season deal.
It is a one-season deal, and he had, yeah, you're right. And he was very bad at it last season, 29% in 18. So I wonder how often guys be, you know, Serge sort of as a three, if you're talking 3-point man, Serge turned himself into a 3-point shooter. He might be the best example. Certainly no wings. You know, Seth Alosha ran hot and cold. Reggie Jackson never developed as a three-point shooter while he was here.
But here's the guys that they've drafted lately. You know, Abrines was supposed to be that guy. I think Abrines is a good shooter. It just didn't work out for whatever reason. But Josh Eustace can't shoot. Cameron Payne couldn't get it right, couldn't play. Terrence Ferguson can't shoot.
I think now you're being hard on Ferguson. I mean,
he's young.
I mean, at 20 years old, he was up to 36% this year. That's very promising to me.
That's right. He's 36% for his career. It's not terrible.
That's very promising since he's 20. If he was 24, I'd be worried, but he's only 20. I like his prospects. I like
maybe
his prospects.
Maybe it was a little harsh. A little harsh on him.
But Eustace was clearly a reach. Andre is not ever going to be able to make a basket. He's a wonderful defender, and you can use him, but he's never going to be able to make a basket.
Great college rebounder, I think.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Well, he can guard. I mean, he helps you win. Just don't think he's going to be – just don't pretend like he's going to become a shooter. That's not going to happen. What do you think is going to happen with him, by the way? We're talking – all of a sudden the last week we've done nothing except talk about catastrophic injuries, and we got one here in our own backyard. What do you foresee for Andre this coming season?
I mean, it's a sad story.
You think it's over?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because he doesn't do the other things very well. He relies a lot on his strength and athletic ability, and mainly his strength. But that's going to be tough if that knee has continued to give him problems for this long. I just think that's one of those – that's a Sean Livingston type injury. It takes 2 years to come back from, and if you're going to come back from it, you have to be able to adapt your game. As we talked about Sean Livingston, he was a multifaceted superstar player.
He was skilled.
Andre's not that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, right. You're right.
He could do other things. He could remake his game. He could rework his game.
Right.
Who's got a better chance to help the Thunder long-term between the guys that they kind of added last season? Abdul Nader.
No.
Deontay Burton and Hami Diallo.
I'm going to say Burton.
I don't think Burton gets enough. Burton's one of those he's kind of like a he's got a different body type. But I like him as a player. Like, by the eye test, he can score. He'll try hard defensively. I mean, there's got to be some things that keep him off the floor, and they would know better than me. But I like his confidence.
So. Body type and skill set. If you look at Deontay Burton, you have to think, wonder if we can turn him into P.J. Tucker. That's what you have to think. They're very similar in body type and skill set.
Now, PJ Tucker a lot better defensively, right?
That's the big difference. And so my question is, how did he get there? Is he just quicker? Maybe that's it. Is he stronger? Maybe you can make Burton stronger. Whatever it is, and if it's quickness, well, then you're sunk. But PJ Tucker doesn't strike me as being incredibly quick. And is it desire? Well, that could be a problem too. But when I look at those, I see similarities. Except P.J. Tucker really guards guys. And if you could get Deontay Burton to where he could do something close to that or even just similar to that, well, then you've got a useful ball player.
All right, in honor of Enid, since Nick Nurse is there, P.J. Mills coming in to take over for the Ultimate this afternoon at 2 o'clock. He'll be at Lucky Star Casino. Barry, tell me what's going on at Harry's TV.
Well, we got Hefner and Northwest Penn, come by and see us. The great showroom at Harry's. The kitchen rebates, KitchenAid rebates are $1,600. Gen Air kitchen packages, $2,000 instant savings. Lots of models, lots of stuff. I went through this a couple of weeks ago. My refrigerator went out. It can be a hassle. You don't know what to do. Come here. They will take care of you. Lots of ways to go. Come by and let the people at Harry's guide you through that.
That's a tough day when the refrigerator, the freezer goes out. It's not good at all.
Not good.
Where we have Major Madness underway right now. During Major Madness, you're going to get a gift card for every driver, wedge, hybrid, or iron set that you make. Every 100 that you spend on clubs will be eligible to receive 20% of your purchase. So that's a huge deal. All used clubs are marked 30% off. And for Father's Day, all apparel, buy one, get one 50% off. Great gift ideas for Dad in here. You don't have to worry. Easy parking, easy in and out, and you'll be done and save a bunch of money for Dad. Give him something that he really wants for Father's Day. Come see us on the west side of Quail Springs Mall. More of the Monsters coming up next.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
That's going to be interesting to see what.
Two very passionate schools about baseball as the College World Series gets underway tomorrow. Barry, you just informed me, dropped some serious knowledge on me during the break, that last weekend Texas Tech won its first men's national championship in school history.
Any sport.
And track?
Any sport. Yep.
Can you imagine running track in Lubbock? Oh, wow. You have to run against the wind at least at some point in time.
It's probably like, playing golf at Stillwater. The wind probably prepares you for all kinds of conditions and probably helps you. That's one reason Holder was and Alan Bratton, everybody in between, has been able to recruit great players. Is one reason, hey, come here, we'll teach you to play in rough conditions, that wind.
Good point. That course, by the way, is rough enough without wind. It will make a man out of you. You have a Mid-American Christian University educated guess?
I will go with the U.S. Open. I'm going to throw out a dark horse candidate. Here's who I pick to win it here at this point. It's a name. Craig gives you an update every 30 seconds.
He does. It's great.
On the U.S. Open. He did not say this guy's name, I don't think, all day that I heard. I'm going to say Louis Oosthuizen wins the U.S. Open. South African. I like the accents. I love the English accents. So I'm going to go with Louis Oosthuizen. He's the little guy. You know, you don't have to hit it. You don't have to hit it 380 yards off the tee to win at Pebble Beach. Maybe Louis wins the Open.
When I went to the Masters, you know who I followed around a little bit in the morning? Ian Woosnam.
Ian Woosnam, all the little guys.
Another accent guy for you that's little.
Is he from Wales? Is he from Wales?
I think he is from Wales.
I think he's from Wales.
Are you sure he's not a Scotsman? He might be Welsh.
I don't know.
I can't tell the Scots from the Welsh. I'm sorry.
Well, I can't either.
Gareth Bale is from Wales. He
wouldn't decent have a bad round there. You know, he's exempt lifetime because he's a winner.
Yeah. So we'll see. That's what I got. I hope you're wrong about yours. I hope you go down in the fiery crash.
Who do you not like? SEC.
That's who I don't like. SEC.
So you'll be pulling for Lubbock. I should pull. I mean, look.
Well, yeah, I'm pulling for Lubbock.
Who I'm rooting for against who I think is going to be there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I hope you're wrong. And it's a who's Arkansas play? Florida State? Is that right?
I think Arkansas. That's right. Arkansas has Florida State, Michigan, Texas Tech. Texas Tech swept Michigan in the regular season and did it in like dominant fashion in Lubbock early in the year.
Well, I hope Arkansas doesn't make it. Nothing against the Razorbacks, but I hope it's a non-SEC team that gets through on that side of the bracket. The whole dang other side's all SEC, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mississippi State and Auburn and Vanderbilt and whoever else I'm leaving out. So, I hope Tech can do it. I hope Tech can do it. That'd be a cool thing for the Big 12. That'd be a cool thing for the Big 12.
It would be. I like Tim Tadlock as well. And Kirby Hokut is a great guy. I'll tell you what, Tech has had some success, certainly finding Chris Beard has helped their basketball program out.
Well, what a great athletic season they've had. They make the NCAA championship game in basketball, should have won it. And then, the baseball's in the World Series. They win their first title in track. By the way, speaking of the NCAA basketball championship game, did you see the photo that's floating around the internet? There is a picture, a black and white picture from 1989, a game between Wisconsin Green Bay and Northern Iowa.
All right.
The dude from Green Bay is guarding the guy from Northern Iowa, and it's just the two of them in the picture. Would you like to know who the two players are?
All right, Green Bay is probably
Wisconsin Green Bay and Northern Iowa.
Terry Porter?
Nope. Here's who it is.
Okay.
It is Tony Bennett guarding Nick Nurse. Tony Bennett is guarding Nick Nurse, and 30 years later, Bennett has coached Virginia to its first NCAA basketball title ever, and Nurse has coached the Toronto Raptors to their first NBA title ever. It's a remarkable thing how history works out. They're literally on the court together, guarding each other, and I guess, I don't know what league that would have been in 1989.
Probably D2.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I don't know. Anyway, it's crazy, and now they're the champions of basketball. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Anybody going to fill your role next week while you're on vacation? It's tough to fill your shoes on the Total Dominance Hour.
I don't know what they got. You know, we're shorthanded anyway. We're a little bit. If I go on vacation or Al goes on vacation now, it's sort of like the Warriors, down to, you know, hardly anything left.
That's right.
So we'll have to see. I don't know what they're going to do. I told them if something happens, they really need to call me. They can call me. My cell probably works, so I'll be glad to jump on with them if we have big news, which we probably will. Probably have an Anthony Davis trade or something or another. You know, Schroeder gets traded. Well, something will happen. It always does.
Yeah, the NBA definitely helped us topically by having a great finals and some interesting stuff going. Now they just dropped us off 6 days before the draft. So we'll have plenty to talk about.
When did they move the draft up? You have any idea? The draft's earlier than usual. Usually it went back into... I don't know why the draft's so early this year.
I think it makes sense to have it ahead of free agency, right?
Just give them more space between the two? You're probably right.
Yeah, well, just to know what's on the roster. I mean, hey, we get this guy now, we can go out and make a different assessment of who we need free agent-wise. Matt, what you got planned for this weekend?
Watch party. Sunday afternoon, right? Sunday morning, really, with the women's World Cup with
Buffalo
USA.
Wild Wings?
USA, sure. Sounds
they
good.
Big watch party going on. Hey, I thought she came out of the gate strong yesterday, and then Al just took back over. I mean, he was working you around the ring like a champion.
It's hard, man. He's a Hall of Famer. How can I hang with him?
Now, you were trying to get Matt in trouble. I heard that on the radio yesterday, Mark. I heard that. You were trying to get him in trouble.
Yeah. It's tough to face sometimes the line of questioning that Al brings. I mean, he's sensed a weakness here in Matt's Matt's relationship.
I would not. Here's the problem. I would not recommend trying to duel with Al in that. I would just ignore his. I would ignore his. When he starts talking nonsense, just start talking about golf or soccer. That's what I would do.
Get him on.
Not acknowledge. I would not acknowledge the line of questioning. That's how I think it best work.
That's probably a good idea.
Wonder if that works in the police interrogation room. Maybe that's what I'll try if I'm ever in a police interrogation room.
Yeah, I would be pretty good at that. I don't think Tram's going to be in a police interrogation room anytime soon. Barry, I've enjoyed it. All right. Tell us one more time where you've been today.
Harry's TV and Appliances, Northwest Penn and Hefner. Come by and see him. Great showroom, great deals on a variety of appliances.
Very good. I'm at Golf USA. Major Madness sale continues throughout the weekend. So come by and see us just west of Quail Springs Mall. Huge discounts and buy one, get one half off on all the merchandise here, all the apparel. And again, you get 20% back when you buy clubs. Enjoy it, Barry. We'll talk again soon. PJ Mills coming up next here on WWS, the Sports Animal.
On the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Chris Jericho.